It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the Ministry of Torso. It is the 16th of the month, and we wish you guys richest blessing. We are still going to extend our availability for those who want to take the medical missionary course. You definitely have to make your arrangements before the course starts the next class, which is the 27th of August. All right, my friends, God is good. It's time now for us to have our opening prayer. If she's available, my wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time. I'll go ahead and have our opening prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the love of God, that love that will not let us go. We pray that we will properly exemplify that love to our brothers and sisters, and to everybody else around us. We thank you for the love. We thank you for the truth. We ask that your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. God is good. We are now moving forward. And went off. There we go. All right. It's time now for our opening song. It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christians. It's about time. It's about
about time, brothers and sisters. And at this time, we will have our prayer as we talk about Christ, our great high priest, in Hebrews 7. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for all that you have accomplished through us. Help us, Lord, to give you 100% of our hearts, not keep back any, that we might be used of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our study of the sanctuary, brothers and sisters. We were in the book of Exodus, and we detoured to the book of Hebrews to establish that whatever we found in the Old Testament was there to, what we're about to learn in the Old Testament would be to symbolize the fact that we have a great high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. There's a sanctuary in heaven. For this Melchizedek, and by the way, there's someone that I have conversed with, and what they try to do is they try to say that this whole sanctuary message is not right because there's no outer court. The Bible never said there's an outer court. The Bible said it was a tabernacle. No matter how much I say it to that person, they won't get it. So, but it's what the Bible said. So what happens is the tabernacle with the holy and most holy place is what's in heaven. Christ came down and died for us. So the outer court was where the lamb was slain. All that symbolized Christ. Okay, so you shouldn't look for an outer court in heaven because that represented the earth. Really not that hard. But people try to do all they can to twist the scriptures so that they can push an agenda. They got disenfranchised for whatever reason with the truth, and probably because they looked at the people and maybe looked at their own life and found that they were too fanatical or whatever, so they throw the baby out with the bathwater. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, brothers and sisters, you will never, let me just say it this way, I couldn't find in my thinking, in my memory, anyone that was priest and king, okay? Now, you have prophets that might have been judges, but they weren't the king. Priest and king, head of church, head of state. Only a divine being could be that, okay? Only a divine being could be that. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, the Pope is blasphemous, because he's head of church and head of state. Anytime you combine church and state and you are not God, you always bring on persecution, always. That's why God blessed America, because it separated the church from the state. And so what you find is happening, brothers and sisters, is that document that guarantees that protection is being perverted by the Republicans and the Democrats. By the Democrats and the Republicans. Why did I just say that? Because I don't want the Republicans to think that I'm down on them more than I'm down on the Democrats. So I was part of the phrase said the Republicans and Democrats are Democrats and Republicans. Okay, same thing. Yes, I know. But we have such a fickle, I'm just really bothered that adults are so fickle today. If you look at what happened both with the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and you want to look at all the evils in the Democratic Party but ignore the ones in the Republican Party, or if you want to look at all the evils in the Republican Party but ignore the ones in the Democratic Party, you're not ready to go to heaven. That's it, bottom line, because there's corruption in both sides, brothers and sisters. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that there was an attempt against the Constitution to stay in power. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that the Constitution does not protect who you choose to sleep with, even if it's a man and you're a man, and it's a woman and you're a woman. That was not the intent of the Constitution, and it does not protect that. And so, brothers and sisters, that's what you have on both sides. You have some that believe that it was all right to pervert the Constitution regarding the election, and you have others that believe it's all right to pervert the Constitution regarding gay lives and lesbian lives and the LGBT movement. The bottom line is both of them are equally wrong, okay? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight. I refuse to join either of those political parties, but I love all the people in both. Okay, so I'm at peace. I'm at peace. I don't get mad when a Republican talks. I don't get mad when a Democrat talks. I just get glad when they want to talk about Jesus. Priest and king, separation of church and state, only a divine being. This was the Holy Spirit, by the way, in the Old Testament, thus Melchizedek. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So he's king of righteousness, king of peace. He's king of the church, he's king of the state. Okay, only a divine being could be that. Only a member of the Godhead could be that. And so we read on. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So he was made like the Son of God. Well, what did the Son of God do? As God, he came in the flesh. So that was what the Holy Spirit did. As God, he came in the flesh. Because that's what Jesus would do. He would be a symbol of what Jesus would do. Okay? So, my friends, this is a wonderful teaching. I want to read to you from a book called First Selected Messages, page 409. It was not Christ that spoke through Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek was not Christ. But he was the voice of God in the world, the representative of the Father, and all through the generations of the past, Christ has spoken. Friends, the only representative of Christ that was without father, without mother, without descent, not beginning of days, not end of days, it has to be a divine being. An angel couldn't even fit this because they had a beginning. The Holy Spirit, friends, is who this was. We learned that from deduction. Now, and what I remember is you're not going to find it written in the writings of what we call the Ellen White's writings, who I do believe was inspired by God. But what you will find, if I'm not mistaken, is she spoke it and it was someone was writing and it was, so she was quoted as saying. Okay, so I just want to tell you that that's where that reference comes from. That she said it was the Holy Spirit. Now, consider how great this man was unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Now, let's talk about what is that tenth. Brothers and sisters, a lot of people have lied and told you that the tithe, which went to support ministry, people in full-time ministry, a lot of people have lied and told you that that was part of the old covenant. Abraham was before the old covenant, and tithing was already in place, okay? So the old covenant dealt with things which pointed forward to Christ, okay? The things in the old covenant that are the Old Testament time that were done away with are those things that pointed forward to Christ. That I can read that to you if you want to go in the Bible, in your Bible, to Colossians chapter 2. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. It didn't say the Ten Commandments, it said the ordinances, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. You see, there were meat offerings that pointed forward to Christ. Or drink, there were drink offerings. Some people think that this is telling you that you can eat pork and drink wine. Or in respect of unholy day. Oops, don't have to keep Sabbath anymore. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about the holy days that were symbolic of Jesus. I'll prove it to you. Or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. You see, it didn't say every Sabbath. It didn't say everything that God had to say about what you eat. It said those things which were a shadow of things to come, those things which pointed forward to Christ. When God made the Sabbath, it didn't point forward to Christ. It pointed backward to creation and the rest that God had at creation. Now, when we give our heart to God, it is symbolized. In other words, God uses that analogy in Hebrews that we enter into rest, and he uses the Sabbath as an example of the importance of entering into God's rest. But that is not the Sabbath created to point forward to Christ. It pointed backward. And we're going to keep the Sabbath in heaven, brothers and sisters, on Saturday. It was not man-made, okay? So what I'm sharing with you is that the Bible says that some of the ordinances were done away with. Those ordinances are the ones that are a shadow of things to come. The Passover was the cross of Calvary. It symbolized the cross of Calvary. During that whole week of their feast, you have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay? You have then Pentecost, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit authorized by Christ, okay? He came in to represent Christ. That's what the Bible said. Christ said he would send him, us a comforter. And then you have the Feast of Trumpets. That represented the Great Awakening. You can read about that in the dictionary. It was a Great Awakening in Christianity, pointing forward to the soon return of Jesus. There were Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians. There was no Seventh-day Adventist in the beginning of the Great Awakening. And it's in the dictionary. I'm sorry, it's in your encyclopedia, brothers. It was a major event. And people began to understand prophecies. The Holy Spirit opened their eyes, and they began to understand time prophecies, some things pointing to 1844. These were Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians. These weren't Seventh-day Adventists. So they will lie and tell you, oh, yeah, these Seventh-day Adventists, they believe Jesus was coming. They're a cult. They believe Jesus was coming in 1844. They were Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians. They studied the Bible. And what happened when Jesus didn't come? Because they had the timing right, but they had the event wrong. They just went back to their world-loving Sunday churches and just began to say, phooey with all this Jesus is coming stuff. Let's just have fun in church. And that's what happened, brothers and sisters. Then God raised up the Advent movement to continue on teaching the truth. Unfortunately, organizations sometimes within any movement can go sour, can apostatize. That doesn't mean the movement is bad, okay? The Jewish organization stopped following God. That doesn't mean that the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament are bad, okay? Or that they acknowledge the first five anyway. I don't know what they do with the rest, but they've added a whole bunch to it. The Talmud has all these different requirements, and that is sinful, brothers and sisters. Yes, I have to tell you the truth. It's sinful. Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They said, you can't carry but so much weight on the Sabbath. You can't walk but so many steps on the Sabbath. Now they say in certain, the strict Jews won't even turn on a light on the Sabbath. They are rich, and they'll have their servants come on and turn the lights on and maybe warm up the food because they won't do it. What hypocrisy. If you can't do it, then your servant can't do it, brothers and sisters. Won't drive a car on the Sabbath day. There's nothing in the Bible, even in the Old Testament, that would say you couldn't do that. If you had to get to church on a camel or a donkey or something of that nature, there was nothing in the Bible that says you couldn't get on it to get to where you need to get to. So I'm just trying to share with you that what God was doing away with was the ceremonies that pointed forward to Christ, and some of them were kept as Sabbath. So if the Passover came on a Tuesday, they kept it as a Sabbath, but we don't have to keep the Passover anymore. It was nailed to the cross. That's not the weekly Sabbath, my friends, and that's why it says only those which are a shadow of things to come. So I just want to bring that out to you, because people will lie to you and tell you that the Sabbath day, the seventh-day Sabbath, was done away with at the cross. It was not. And it goes on. You see where I was in Hebrews 7. We were talking about tithe. That's what it was. And, yes, verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. So, brothers and sisters, if it's not done away with at the cross, it's the principle of it is still binding. We are to pay tithe to those who are working for the Lord and doing ministry. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, some people will tell you all your tithe has to go to an organization. Sometimes those organizations end up putting your tithe in the stock market, and that's sin. They hire preachers that are teaching error, and that's sin, okay? But they'll tell you it's all about that money, you see. But Jesus was a self-supporting worker, and he moved forward. He knew how to work. He chose disciples that had trades, and all the Jewish people were learning trades. That's one good thing about the Jewish economy. They were required to learn some form of manual labor. Paul was a tent maker, things of that nature. But he taught clearly that a workman is worthy of his hire. So, brothers and sisters, people who do the work full time are worthy of tithe. And you should pay your tithe to where truth is being taught and you're being ministered to. That's what we should do. Unfortunately, we've been told that we should pay it to an organization, even an organization that we know is going wrong and doing wrong. Jesus never taught that that's what you have to do, my friends. And those who have studied the spirit of prophecy, you will find that Ellen White did not continue to do that. She actually paid hers to those who were doing the work, not those who were paid by the conference to do the work. And that's what she did, and she encouraged others to do that, and she told the conference brethren to stop complaining about it, and or they will make matters worse for themselves. And so we move forward. When you're called, you have to preach no matter what. You have to preach whether you're paid or not. Now, you might therefore have to do something else that brings in some income if the tithes and offering is not enough. But the bottom line is, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And see, a lot of people won't preach unless they're paid. When you're called to be a preacher, even if you have another job, you are to be a preacher. That's what the Bible says. And without all controversy and without all contradiction, sorry, the less is blessed of the better. That means that in that case of Abraham and Melchizedek, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And here, men that die receive tithes. But there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say, so say Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. So that means that even though Levi receives tithes, he pays tithes, okay? And he is also was part of Abraham. So that tithing did not begin at that time. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Okay, so it says the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity also a change of the law. Brothers and sisters, God does not recognize the Levitical priesthood as his primary priesthood. It is now the Melchizedek priesthood, and it is in Christ. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. He's basically saying that in the Old Testament times, you had to be a Levite, but Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Okay, so it's no longer that God has men that must be from the Levitical tribe. It's those who have accepted Christ and accepted Christ's calling to preach. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's actually in the book of Psalms. It's actually Psalms 110, verse 4. It was a prophecy of Jesus. But there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So people take these scriptures and say we don't have to keep God's Ten Commandments. Now, it's not even referencing that. It's talking about the law of commandments contained in ordinances. But the bottom line, friends, is that this verse doesn't tell us that we shouldn't keep the Ten Commandments. The law never does. The law doesn't make you perfect. You're not perfect because you don't kill and steal and lie. You're perfect because you've given your heart to God, and his righteousness covers your path and then imbues you with something you cannot explain. There's a song that says, something within me I cannot explain. Something within me that holdeth the rain. Something within me that banishes pain. Something within me I cannot explain. All I know is there's something within me. You see, that is what happens when you accept Christ in your life, my brothers and sisters. He comes within us. And that's a beautiful thing. Inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath. So Aaron, it wasn't an oath, it was the commandment of God. But Jesus, when he became priest, it was with an oath that his father said, I have made you a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear, and I will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly. Now, he's surety of a better testament. In other words, if Jesus, when he came, if he had sinned one time in thought, in word, in deed, he was kind of made as a surety or as a ransom, so to speak. You know, people get kidnapped, you got to pay the ransom money. Jesus was the ransom that saved you and me, friends. And they truly were many priests. They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Jesus will never die again. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, this is what it's all about. Friends, when you understand what Jesus is doing, you understand the love of God and that every day of his life until he comes again, he's making intercession for you. He's interceding in your behalf. He's pleading his blood because of your impatience and because of my impatience and because of our slothfulness and because of our lack of surrender. He said, Lord, just let's give him a little more time. And he's showing you his great love, and he's pouring out the Holy Spirit to convict you, brothers and sisters. God wants us to make a full surrender to him. It will not be said that he could have done more to save us. He's actually interceding in our behalf, asking the Father to hold back the winds until Shalom gets it right. But he can't wait forever. So today is the day that we are to make a full surrender to Christ, my friend. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So, my brothers and my sisters, God is merciful. God is good. And we are thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is in heaven, pleading for us. When we pray, the prayer gets taken by the Holy Ghost. You can read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I think it is. For the Spirit taketh our infirmity because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit takes our prayers in groanings that cannot be uttered, it says. He takes it to Christ. And so the high priest on the earth would go in daily and he would light the incense. That represented the sweet savor of the righteousness of Christ. And it would go over the veil into the presence of God. You see, and that represents our prayers. When we pray them in the name of Jesus, the presence of Jesus actually mingles with our prayer. And even though we are sinful in nature, not that we have to keep sinning, but we still have a sinful nature, the righteousness of Christ permeates that, and it goes as a sweet savor into the nostrils of the Father. And the Father is therefore answering Christ's prayer for you. So you understand that when you pray, every prayer you pray is presented to the Father by Jesus Christ. You see, I'm sharing with you things that the world doesn't want you to know. A lot of churches don't want you to know, because the God that I'm telling you need to surrender to, you couldn't even pray without him. He is so much in love with you. And therefore, we should have no problem giving up things of this world for him, my brothers and sisters. We shouldn't have any problem giving up for the one who we couldn't even get a prayer through without, who's representing us day and night, all of our prayer. And then when we fall short, he's pleading his blood in our behalf that we would not be lost. Why would we have a problem giving up something for a God like that? That's our message for today, friends. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Bless us, Father, that we will see Jesus clearer than we've ever seen him before. And as our eyes are upon him, the things of this earth, the things we hold on to, will become strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you for this teaching in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, at this time we'll take our break. We just want to remind you that if you have not signed up for our school, you can go to torso.org, watch the first lesson. That's free. We've passed the original deadline, but we'll extend it. So you need to sign up before the class on the 27th. It is a Zoom course. You need to register. If you go to torso.org, you can watch the video. You can hit the register button. It takes you to an affiliated ministry, Creators RX. The website that they have is Creators RX, New Hope Mission, and they are coordinating the school. So they have the registration form, the survey. You need to fill that out, and you need to choose a payment option. If you have some alternative method that you need. I had somebody actually from overseas send a Western Union that we've got to go pick up. They don't have WhatsApp. I mean, they don't have their credit cards and what would you have it? They can't send Cash App. They can't send Zelle. They can't do any of those things. So they actually went and sent it Western Union. So the bottom line is that there is still room. If you are interested, please, if you want to see what the concept is, go watch that video at torso.org. Just scroll down. It's called The Foundational Principles of Biblical Wellness. That's a video you can watch on torso.org. That is the first class that was free, and it gives you wonderful foundational information and tells you a concept of what you'll be learning. The Lord has blessed us with a learning system, and we teach medical missionary work, fraction of the cost, fraction of the time. God bless you. It's time for our transition song. It is the Torso song at this time.
In the state of Pennsylvania,
They're the one of a kind, place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattle. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice,
we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen, amen. Our title for our worship, sorry, wellness segment from Sister Lenny is, what does aging mean? Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy, happy Wednesday. What does aging mean? Starting somewhere between 20 and 30 years old, the body starts a gradual decline in many major systems, including the immune and muscular systems. The overall metabolic rate slows, the digestive tract becomes sluggish, and the endocrine system slips, to name just a few of the aging processes. But people are generally not as concerned about this kind of aging as they are about illness and dependency as they get older. It is hard to separate out the issue of aging from issues of disease. People experience an increased risk of diabetes as they age, for example. Blood pressure also rises, as do blood cholesterol levels and the risk for developing heart disease. Bones are associated with advancing years. Reaction times also slow with age, and older people report they have more trouble remembering new names. This suggests an increased difficulty in processing new information for short-term memory. In short, aging and age-related disease are closely linked but entirely separate. More important, much of the aging process is within a person's control. Many of the above-mentioned changes in body and mind are modifiable by making a few simple changes in diet and exercise. In other words, there's a whole lot you can do to hold off the aging process. And some of them I'm getting ready to share with you. Love those fruits and veggies. Think green. Collards, kale, and turnip greens are loaded with calcium. Try hard to remove the flesh meat consumption. Bring in the calcium-rich foods such as almonds, bok choy, oranges, yogurt, seeds, and sesame, as sesame seeds, tofu, and whole grains. And you want to always remember to live free, love God, include temperance, vital water, eat healthy, fresh air, rest, exercise, and enjoy sunlight. This morning's reading is coming from Food for Health and Healing, pages 58 to 59 and 66. God bless you, and may this day be a happy, healthy day for you.
Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. It's roll call time. We have on Facebook, we have Georgia Represent, and we have the country of Kenya. And then on the call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware again. We have Oklahoma. We have Iowa. We have Michigan. We have Georgia. Thank you all for joining us. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free to press star 6. We have from Facebook some good mornings from our dear sister Vicky. And we have Virginia now on Facebook from our dear sister Salita as well. God bless each one of you. It's time now for us to open the phone lines. If anyone has any comment or question, please go to torso.org or you can go to creatorsrx.com. Creatorsrx.com. That is a ministry that is from the ministry New Hope Mission, and they're coordinating the school for us, but we're running the course. So the bottom line is if you would like to just get a feel for or just learn some powerful information, go to torso.org or the other website, CreatorsRx, and scroll down. You'll be able to watch the first lesson that you missed on August the 6th. It gives, even if you're not signing up for the class, it will benefit you in your health to watch that video, okay? But if you like what you see and you want to receive a certification as a holistic wellness coach, holistic with a W, that's biblical wellness, my friend, and learn in a fraction of the time for a fraction of the cost with our textbook, which is not far from being 500 pages, but it's not 500 pages of a lot of writing. It's 500 pages of graphical flowcharts for the most part, okay? So you'll be able to grasp it from picture and from point to point. It's easy to learn. God gave us this system, friends, and we're going to be teaching that with the quintessential biblical health message that God has given. You're going to learn the fastest way of shrinking a cancerous tumor. You're going to learn the best and fastest way of reversing diabetes. You're going to learn the best and fastest way of lowering your blood pressure, okay? And these are things that have not been achieved even in modern medicine, though they have lots of debt. You come out of, if you don't have a parent with deep pockets, you come out of medical school with at least $250,000 in debt, okay? Who's going to be a missionary with a debt load of $250,000? It's hard, friends, and that's why God has a better system of healing that is all good, okay? Some things are good in modern medicine. It's just not all good. Can we say amen? All right, if there is anyone that wants to do that, join us, please feel free. You will get a textbook if you do join the school. That textbook, as long as you commit to the payment plan, and finish the school, your textbook ends up being free, and that's a value of at least $200, friends. This is almost $500. There's color on almost every page of this textbook. So if you just even look at the printing cost of something like that, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Don't miss it. It is going to help prepare an army in these last days for the finishing work, because you can't finish this work without medical missionary work. So if anybody has any problems with the registration process or anything of that nature, just reach out, let me know. There's three steps. You generally fill out the registration form, you choose a payment option, and you can pay up to like four payments of like $160, $250, that type of thing. It ends up being $650 total. And after that, you fill out a survey, and that just has us, you know, knows what address and everything to ship things to, and so on and so forth. Okay. All right. Somebody asked the question. Let me see. It was there. No, that's not a question. All right. We got that. No problem. So, did you know that if you drink a lot of distilled water, it can help lower your hypertension, brothers and sisters? We'll put that in the textbook too, but that's a good thing to know. All right, there's no one in the queue. God bless you. We'll go ahead and turn it over to my wife to take us to the throne of grace at this time. And we will see you back on tomorrow. May the Lord bless and keep you.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to allow your spirit to be with us. And as we go about this day, we ask for your continuous help, Lord, and wisdom to be granted unto us. Help us to be able to serve you faithfully and to be of service to others. We pray that you will bless every heart in a special way and provide us with spiritual, mental, and physical healings. And we do pray, Lord, that those that are in need of financial assistance and help, that every need will be met. And we pray, Lord, that we can remember to call upon you, to trust you, and to believe in your word as we draw close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith, God, with open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.